Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Rewind Wrestling Radio. I'm your host, Ted Weston. I'm here with the Temptress Witch Ivy, and we're going to bring you the best wrestling radio show on the interwebs.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Rewind Wrestling Radio, right here on the Rewind Wrestling Network. I'm your host, Ted Weston, and I have myself a very thick sandwich today. I've got myself my beautiful partner in crime, the Temptress Thick, Temptress Witch Ivy, and I've got myself Ref Thick as fuck. Ref, I love you so much. I love you, Amy. I'm so glad you're here with us today.
Yay. Amy,
it's been a minute since Amy's been here. We traumatized her. I had to bribe her by saying I would send her juice boxes, aka a six pack, in the mail.
Well, yes. That gets me to do anything at this point.
Anything, you say?
Not anything. No, sorry.
Listen, you have internet trolls that will say that.
The bare minimum.
So, Ange, what I'm hearing is there's a chance for a reach around. I'm just saying.
I'm going to leave the call. I'm traumatized again.
I wish we had the capability to, like, boot him out of the call.
I mean, I'll leave, but then y'all got to come up with your topics for tonight.
You're running the call also, so if you leave, the call is over.
But you realize that majority of the Ladies' Nights episodes were literally me and Amy just fucking going off the handle on the fly, right?
Oh, absolutely. I listened to every one.
Okay.
All right, so listen. Fan. That's right. I'm a mark. So first of all, I want to say I'm very happy to be bringing you guys another episode tonight. Thank you to everyone that tuned in to our last episode. I know that you dealt with me getting a little bit out of control. I was a little bit like a certain host of a certain Busted Open show, kind of losing my mind a little bit for a minute about AEW. But you know what? As LaGreca'd as I was, I am very happy to say that I found some things in the last couple of weeks that have been positives for me for AEW. We're going to get to that tonight. And we're also going to talk about the WWE draft. And then I have a game for you ladies. So we're going to jump right in here and we're going to talk. But before we do, make sure you hop on the socials and like us at Rewind Podcast, WREWINDPODCAST. And remember, if you're watching, listening on YouTube, I know we're not doing the videos anymore right now. We're just kind of having the audio track and having stuff that goes with it. But thank you so much. Please hit that subscribe button. Hit the notifications button. We want to see you guys each and every week here. Okay. All right. So listen, I want to talk for a few minutes about the WWE draft and whether or not it's really a necessity at this point. And I heard an idea that I found intriguing about how to maybe make it better. So I think that Paul Levesque has done a great job with the WWE product. I think he's done a phenomenal job with the WWE product. It's almost so that it's must watch TV for me every week. And we all know that there was a time for us fans that wasn't the case with WWE in very recent memory. Right. I have to say, in my opinion, the draft was a bit of a flop. It was dull. Most of the big people stayed on their own brands. Champions were not eligible to be drafted. The few NXT call-ups that we got were really either really expected or, you know, didn't really do anything for me. So I felt like it was a little bit of a flop. What I want to get your opinion on here, ladies, is I heard a way to maybe fix this a little bit. And I think I heard it on Busted Open. So on my drive to work now, I have a much longer drive to work now than I used to. And on my drive to work now, I listen to podcasts, you know. And shout out to all of our podcast fam out there, the Circle Debate fam and the Top Rope fam. We love you guys. I listen to you guys all the time on my drive. But I listen to the Busted Open podcast and I listen to Eric Bischoff's podcast regularly. And I can't remember which show I heard this on, but the idea was that if you're going to have the draft be 2 days, the first day be just a shakeup of the roster. So there's no NXT eligibility at all on the first day. And they just do the shakeup of the rosters, and they do it like pulling bingo balls, like they do for the like they used to do for the Royal Rumble, right? And so, like, the Raw GM goes out and he gets to pick five names. The SmackDown GM goes out, they get to pick five names, and they just whatever names they get, that's who their roster is. That's what they've got to work with, right? And then the second day is just like NFL draft. They're only calling up people from NXT. And I found that idea intriguing. I don't know if I think it solves the problem of how the WWE draft has worked. And it was, and I know, Ivy, you didn't get to watch the draft, and Amy, I don't know if you did or not. But
I saw bits and pieces on TikTok.
Yeah. I mean, and honestly, that's how most people consume, the days like the draft anyway. But what I would tell you is it was very reminiscent of pretty much every draft we've seen. so it didn't feel like that Paul Levesque product to me, aside from the fact that they had war rooms that like there were cameras in, and they had special guests that were there in the war rooms to help with the picking process. Like Bully Ray was in the Raw room and D-Von was in the SmackDown room and stuff like that. What do you guys think? And I'm gonna go to Amy first, because we don't get to see Amy quite as often. So Amy, I'm gonna go to you first. Do you think that style of draft would intrigue you and would make you want to watch it as a viewer, knowing how these drafts usually go and whether or not you usually like to watch them?
I mean, so my entire problem with the draft, I don't really care about the execution. Though I think the randomization of it might be a little bit like more like, oh, that's pretty cool. But it kind of ruins it, because I know in a couple of months, it's not going to matter anyway. You're going to see people bouncing from brand to brand anyway. And then they'll bounce from brand to brand, showing up on different shows. And then suddenly in November, everybody's going to suddenly care about the brand they're on and be like, we're in teams, guys. We're all on teams at Survivor Series. But yeah, I think the kind of like you were calling the ping pong ball thing might be a good, cool little way, like a callback, like you said, to the Royal Rumble. I think it was like 2005 they did that.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's so hard, because I'm sure I don't know exactly how their TV deals are structured, but I'm sure that it's a lot more difficult when you have two different TV stations that are like, no, we want this guy on our TV. Like our channel, we want this on our channel. So I'm sure they're navigating out of a fucking minefield right now. Sorry.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're on.
No, Roku, we're good. Again. We're not on Roku.
Okay.
We're good.
But yeah, so I'm sure there's like a backstage, like, oh, we can't put Cody Rhodes on this show because this show is paying more to have him on this show. Like, it's like an entire debacle. But yeah, like, I'm just looking at the list right now, because like Ted mentioned, and like our viewers know, I come ill prepared. And I'm just looking through some of the pick, or all the picks, I guess. But you were totally right. The NXT call-ups, and maybe that's just because, I don't know, this NXT class I'm not entirely thrilled with. Because it's very reminiscent of, like, we're dealing with two stages of NXT recruits right now. It's the Vince McMahon era, where he was only signing college people. College athletes and stuff. And now we're going back to like, okay, yeah, they're signing independent wrestlers again and starting to bring in the popular names to come and train and learn how to be on TV. But this seems like a bunch of like the recruits that were just picked because they were athletes and stuff. So it's like, I'm not getting behind them as much as I would someone who's been in the wrestling business for like 5 to 10 years and is seasoned. So maybe that's why it's uninspiring seeing some of the names, but I don't know.
Yeah, I kind of feel that way. Ivy, what do you think? Do you think that would make you want to watch the draft anymore?
I mean, I don't know. I feel like the draft I've never really cared much about. And I think it's because as a wrestling fan, I didn't necessarily watch one show like more than another one. So to me, I really didn't give a crap about like where they landed. If I'm being honest, I think I actually enjoyed wrestling more when like anybody could pop up anywhere.
Mm.
And I think that kind of, I think it almost had like its own like mix up in the roster that would happen as different storylines would develop. So this is something that I feel like they could completely do away with and I'd be okay with it. But I agree. I feel like it's just not eventful.
Yeah.
All the time. Yeah. Like I don't recall really enjoying a draft process ever. So.
Right, right. Well, I mean, here's where things kind of get interesting for me. We just had a major ruling saying that non-compete clauses are no longer allowed in the U.S., right? So I don't know what that's going to look like for contract statuses. I don't know if contracts signed before X date are going to get grandfathered. I haven't gotten to read that much into it. But in
I think
world...
it'll be appealed most likely. That's going to be appealed.
Oh, it's going to be appealed. Sure, but I'm sure, you know, but it sparks a conversation and it sparks an idea for me that, you know, what if it does get upheld? And maybe we do get to that point where, oh man, like Adam Copeland's contract is up with AEW in 2 months. Can he show up on the pay-per-view the next day? You know what I mean? Like,
apparently Tony Khan's contracts aren't that sealed tight because CM Punk was able to show up the week after he got fired. That was awesome.
Yeah. 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 So, I mean, I want to talk about that a little bit more. And that'll have something a little bit to do with our game, that we get to in just a few minutes. You mentioned Tony Khan. That gives me a nice segue here. Thank you, Amy. Okay. And let's talk about AEW for a hot minute here. So listen, when we last came to our listeners here, AEW had just aired the footage from Brawl In in London. And I was really heated about it. And frankly, while I now understand how they tied it into the TV, and I appreciate the heat they're trying to put on Jack Perry, I still think that showing that footage was unnecessary as fuck. Okay. So I still feel that way, and it is what it is. But I also think that the last couple weeks of TV have been more entertaining, and they've started to develop that tune into next week mentality that will hopefully get their viewers to keep cycling through and not have a dip again. It tells me they're thinking about us as viewers, right? However, I think that between all the nonsense with Punk and all the tribalism that's already there, and then you got Cokehead Khan going on the NFL draft talking about WWE being the Harvey Weinstein of professional wrestling, I can't process. Like, you had such an opportunity there, and LaGreca was talking about this on Busted Open this past week. He had such an opportunity there just to promote his own product, and he was doing the kayfabe with the neck brace, and it was beautiful, and he was getting coverage on it on NFL television, and they were talking about AEW, and then he made a dumb ass comment like that. And all that dumbass things like that do is alienate the casual fan. If any fans of WWE who were like, man, I just love professional wrestling, I might want to watch more professional wrestling, we're going to watch AEW. And then they hear that comment, they're like, maybe I won't watch that. You know, in my case, I won't let my kids watch AEW. I won't do it because there's too much dumbass shit that comes out of their mouths. And kids are how we grow the business, folks. Take no ifs, ands, buts about it. Kids are how you grow anything, because if you sink your teeth into them when they're kids, they'll become grown-up fans like us, and then you spawn a whole new generation of them with their kids. Okay, it's a cyclical thing here. So I have a list of five things that I think could help repair AEW's relationship with the casual fan and maybe get them some forward momentum again. Maybe they can break 900,000 viewers. Just one time, it would be nice, you know, in 2024. So, and yes, for the trolls in the comments, I know they rolled over into Collision with over 1 million viewers because it came on right after an NBA game. Notice that it, within 6 minutes of that, that number dropped drastically. Don't play around with games like that. Like, that's stupid. So here are my five things. And Amy and Ivy, I want you guys to tell me if you think this will rebuild the relationship with the casual fan enough to get AEW to have some forward momentum, which I think we all want to see. We want to see AEW be successful because it's good for everybody. It's good for business, right? So no more dumbass comments from crackhead Tony Khan. You know, like,
out take, of the picture completely.
Needs to be off television, needs to be off Twitter, needs that, like he needs to be silent.
Tie him up, throw him in a closet, and lock the door.
Okay.
And he shouldn't be writing for wrestling either. Being a fan does not mean you could book a wrestling show. Even if you know everything about wrestling, the history of it, you were the biggest mark and fan in the world, you're supposed to go through a trial and error of booking a show to see what works and was not. Not when millions of dollars are at stake and people's careers are at stake. You start doing that when you're in the indies and stuff and you learn. And then you start booking big leagues. Like, he needs to just, I'm not saying he shouldn't have control over it, but like, step back.
He needs other people booking it. He needs other people booking it and bringing him a show and saying, listen, this is what we think will be successful. And him saying, yeah, I think that will be successful. Or did you think about X, Y, and Z? You know, like he needs someone to be that creative buffer for him, for sure.
And he needs somebody to be a fucking boss. Because obviously he's shown he cannot be a boss to his friends, which is understandable. It's hard to be a boss to your friends. Like, we all have that experience where, like, it's between a rock and the hard place. But he needs to bring in that guy who's probably, like, a veteran wrestler who's going to keep the boys in shape.
Yeah, and you know what? Bully Ray actually, like some the boys on Busted Open talked about, like, who would they put in charge if they were gonna make Tony Khan not be the boss and just be the money? Mm-hmm. And he said, who better than Dustin Rhodes to run that locker room? Someone who sat under the learning tree of his father and under Vince McMahon. Like, you know what I mean? Like, just by proximity, he's forgotten more about how to book professional wrestling than most people have ever learned, you know?
Yes.
I think that would be great. I think they have to do away with some of the titles. It's so convoluted. There's too much happening on TV with these belts. You got the FTW belt, you've got the international belt, you've got the trios tag team, the tag team, the Ring of Honor. The Ring of Honor TV, there's so much there. There's too much.
It's hard to care about.
Exactly.
Anyone.
Exactly. Because there's no, it's like everybody gets a belt. It's like an Oprah episode happened on AEW. And you get a belt. And you get a belt. And you get a belt. So I feel like we need to pare down the titles. Have a big belt, have a mid card. If you want to have a mid card for Dynamite and a mid card for Rampage/Collision, I'm good with that, right?
Keep them there though.
Right. Keep them there. Tag, if you want to have your trios belts because it's a nice gimmick, cool. Women's main, women's mid, you're done. Get rid of everything the fuck else. And that's already like 50% of your belts. That's only 50% right now. You know what I mean? So, you know, the Ring of Honor championships, they have history, but they aren't adding anything to your product right now. Unless Ring of Honor is going to stand on its own. And mostly your wrestlers from Ring of Honor are just showing up on AEW TV. They're not doing a whole lot on their own unless they're going to show up on their own, you know, and be their own product. Who cares? Right. And that's coming from someone that, you know, for 5 years of me having this show, guys, I had that Ring of Honor flag behind me. I love Ring of Honor, right? But there has to come a time. Focus on getting people over and not just playing with internet wet dreams, right? So we had Bryan Danielson and Will Ospreay at the last pay-per-view. Banger match. Lots of positive there, right? Phenomenal stuff. And why wouldn't you with those two, right? But all you did was satisfy the wet dream of 700 of the same 750,000 fans that you've always had since inception, right? You didn't do anything new to reach anybody with that match, and you're not building anyone and making anybody so that people can identify your product. I started going back because I know I've compared AEW to WCW a whole lot, right? And I said to myself, you know what? I actually don't remember exactly what WCW was like when Nitro first debuted. And so I went back and I've actually watched the first four episodes of Nitro now. And the noticeable difference is WCW from the very first Nitro knew that they were catering to an audience that was new because they were on a new station at a new time and built their people so that their audience cared. AEW never did that. They just did the indie darling thing and said, oh, these guys are all from the indies and they're fantastic. And for people like us who are hardcore wrestling fans and who go to YouTube and look for banger matches and that's great. But how do you reach the people that aren't already watching your product? Do you use the people that are mainstream people? You've got Christian, you've got Copeland, you've got Jericho, you've got Moxley, you've got Sasha Banks, you know, Mercedes Moné, sorry, you've got Bryan Danielson, you've got Will Ospreay, you've got Okada, right? You have all these names from these companies that were outside of your company. Take them and make the people that started in your company mean more and give your company a real identity instead of just taking the identity of the internet wet dream. And finally, make Forbidden Door about more than just New Japan. If you're going to have the Forbidden Door pay-per-view, then find a way to include TNA, MLW, NWA, AAA, you know, CCW, whatever. You know what I mean? Like find a way to include other companies in that concept so that you have that true sense of unpredictability.
And goddamn, put the companies over.
Right.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Very good fucking request.
Fuck. So Ivy, I'll start with you this time. Do those five things rebuild the relationship with the casual fan enough to give AEW forward momentum again?
I think it's a good start. I think it would require those five things and a lot of consistency that AEW just does not give us other than consistency and disappointment with fans. So, I mean, I don't know. I know a lot of people that have turned away from AEW that are like, I'm done. I won't watch it anymore.
Yeah.
They have no So whether or not those changes and finding a way to market those changes for fans to talk by word of mouth and the whole like, oh, hey, I know you said you're not watching AEW, but you need to check this out. And then maybe they'll get that slight little bit of engagement kind of creep its way back in. But I think it's going to take time.
Agree.
It's gonna take time.
Amy, what do you think?
I think those are the five things holding AEW back right now. Like that, the if you fix those things, we're back in business again and growth and stuff. Because that's like you hit the nail on the head. AEW is so focused on that small minority that doesn't pay.
Yep.
Like they'll pay for your pay per views, some of them. They'll come to your shows, some of them. But after a while, they stop coming. You need to keep growing. And that's one of the things, like, not to toot my own horn about like what we do at CCW, we're always looking to get non-wrestling fans into wrestling. We want to appeal to them. We want to be the cool thing that people are like, oh, it's Saturday night, like in Hialeah. We want to go to the wrestling show that they do.
Right.
These people don't know anything about really wrestling. They don't watch WWE, but they know fucking Ozzie Kilmeister. Or they know QT Marshall now because he's our champion, and they're going to buy the merch because they're like, "This, I know this dude." Yeah. So it's like AEW's got to do a better job of trying to bring in people who don't understand wrestling and also treating the product with respect, because if you don't treat it with respect, new fans are not going to treat it with respect. And that's one of the biggest problems that I see with the product. And also treat the refs nice. That would be nice once in a while. Get new refs.
and maybe, you know, just let the ref's credibility hold up in the matches and not just like do random bullshit and the ref, whatever the ref is saying, doesn't matter. Just saying.
And just don't have refs in the ring that are just fans that are marking out for every big move that someone's doing, despite the fact that one person who was on the opposite end of that move hit his head on the ground and he didn't go over to check on him. I'm not voicing out anybody in particular, but the Danielson, Osprey match made me really mad at that point.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so here's what I want to talk about, guys. Here's how we're going to wrap up this episode. I was disappointed by the WWE draft. There's this whole non-compete thing, right? And I wanted to have a little fun with you guys and spring something on you, which I didn't tell the ladies about it until right before we started the episode tonight. And they're a little bit pissed at me for it, but that's okay. I love you ladies. So what we're doing is we're going to do a draft. Okay. And it's going to have three rounds. And in those three rounds, I have created a Google Doc for the ladies to be able to pick from, and I'll be picking as well. And on that document, it has the active roster. Okay. This is it's only who's on the page. No rumored names. For instance, Motor City Machine Guns is no longer under contract with TNA, and they haven't debuted with AEW yet, so they're not on the roster page. So you can't use them, right? So it has to be whoever's on the roster pages as of today, which is the 2nd of May as we're recording this. And it's got the eligible rosters from AEW, WWE, NXT, TNA, NWA, New Japan, and AAA. Okay. So those are the rosters that we're allowed to pull from. In each round, each person has to pick a tag team or a stable as their first pick, a main event male talent as their second pick, mid-card male talent with their third pick, a women's main event with their fourth pick, and a women's mid-card with their fifth pick. So, for instance, Amy would go first. Amy gets to pick a tag team, and then Amy has to pick a main eventer, and then Amy has to pick a mid-carder, and then Amy has to pick a women's main, then Amy has to pick a women's mid, and then Ivy would get to pick all of those things, and then I go, and I put myself in the loser's position here, okay, to come up with our best draft that we can possibly come up with. So I'll narrate this for you guys so that you don't forget what order things are in and what you're picking and stuff like that. Ivy has not, I know you guys can't see Ivy, but she has not stopped side eyeing me and
because
looking.
Because I don't, you know, I don't like this shit.
See, when I told Amy, and Amy started giggling and laughing right away because she does like this kind of shit.
She likes this, but I'm sure she's quite amused because
I'm just drafting the entire NWA roster, baby.
All right. So, Amy.
I don't even know. I don't like this game.
Uh-huh.
I quit.
What else is new?
I'm withdrawing.
Amy.
My company will go under proudly. And fast.
It's the ACPW.
You know what? Just ACBW, all their talent, their whole roster. I'm done for the night.
Oh, perfect. All right. Ty will be happy to know he's your main event pick in round one. All right. Yeah. So, Amy, who are you picking for your tag team and or stable in round one?
Oof. All right. That one's a safe one. I don't think anyone's going to pick this one. So I could save this for my third. FTR, you knew it. You knew it was going to happen. My boys. We're going to have a hard-hitting tag team. I still put them under mid-card for some reason. I don't know how to label things today.
Okay.
I don't even know what the fuck I'm doing. Okay.
Who is your main event male talent, Amy?
He is the future. Gunther! Man is going to be main eventing WrestleMania one day. Probably next year, let's be honest.
I was going to say, it's going to be 2025. Like, no doubt. No doubt. Okay, who's your mid-card male?
This is going to be I don't know if it's controversial, but this is a pretty, it's a stretch. I'm going to draft Jack Perry because you use this heat that he has and make him into a fucking smarmy heel. The Dominic Mysterio of the AEW.
A complete fucking dirtbag.
Yeah, just never gets hit. Always runs away. Like, not what they're doing now. They're trying to make him look like a badass.
Bitch.
Yeah, you lean into the fact that video made him look like a bitch by having him play a little bitch.
Yeah.
Okay.
And when he finally gets popped, it's the best thing in the world.
Okay. All right. Who is your women's main eventer?
It's Rhea Ripley. It's Rhea Ripley. I don't care if she's still injured for a year.
I just want to...
I watched a video on YouTube of this girl who has never watched wrestling before, and within 30 seconds, it was just Rhea Ripley's match. She's like, I'm a fan now.
I don't know if it's the same girl, but there's a girl on TikTok that she was scrolling through, and I guess like there was a thing about it was the Undertaker spot at Mania where like he popped up behind the Rock, and she was like, I keep seeing this on my TikTok, what is this? So people started like encouraging her to watch it. She's like, I had no idea there were like actual like WWE fans out there. And she's been like rewatching like all these different pay-per-views and reacting to it. It's fucking great.
That's fantastic.
It's so funny.
All right, to round out Amy's round one, women's mid-card.
My first little dive into the National Wrestling Alliance. I might be a little biased because she's my girl. Ruthie J with NWA.
Ruthie J, okay.
Day future. She will be in WWE one day. I will put money on it.
Perfect. All right. Ivy.
Fuck.
Your tag team. Your tag team or stable?
Why do we have to do this? Tag team. I don't know, because I wrote some stuff down, but I don't like any of it. I'll take Awesome Truth.
Okay.
I want my boys. I love R-Truth. Everything about him is just perfect.
Okay. Your male main eventer.
My what?
Male main eventer.
Can I have Cody?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not the biggest Cody fan, but like I kind of am loving the man.
The biggest man in wrestling right now. So
yeah. There's just something about him. I don't know.
All right.
He finished the story.
I guess.
And Ivy was there.
I was.
All right.
I heard the whoa.
You did.
Hold on, I'm sorry. My eyeball's acting out.
But while your eyeball's acting out, who's your male mid-carder?
This was like really hard for some reason. Like, I don't even know. Can we consider Sheamus a mid-carder at this point?
Yeah, I think so.
I'll take him because he just came back. So I'll give him a chance.
Okay. Women's main eventer.
Ooh. Can I have Toni Storm?
I would not call her a mid.
Is she even in the title?
No. She's the champion. Sorry, I thought we were on mid card. We're on main event. Yeah, you can have Toni Storm. I'm kind of surprised Amy didn't go there.
But
that's why I took her.
All right, and your women's mid card.
I'll take Natty.
Okay.
Forever mid card.
Forever. But you gotta love her. She knows her place. She does her thing.
Yep. Okay. So that leaves me for my team and or stable. I'm going to do, I guess, all the male members of the Judgment Day. Judgment Day guys since you took Rhea. Bitch.
Mammy's coming home. I saw the pin.
Right?
I saw two pins that night that made me like.
Yeah, Jade's pin is there too. For my male main eventer, I'm going to do something that most of our listeners probably wouldn't expect. I'm picking Swerve. I think he's there. He won his championship and he's doing great shit. So I'm going Swerve. For my mid-carder, I'm going Andrade. For my women's main eventer, I'm going Jordan Grace.
Fuck you. Damn.
And I'm solely picking this person in this round because I have called one of her matches and I'm going Kylan King.
Fuck you.
Picking so. The people I know.
All right. So that gets us to round two. Amy.
All right.
Who's your tag team or stable for round two?
Okay. Well, one of the best things about Gunther is the people around him. So I would be picking Imperium.
Giovanni what? Got kicked out of Imperium.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Who? All right. Well, then I'll pick my safe bet. From NWA, AJ Kazana and Casey Kazana, the country gentleman. Big man slapping meat matches right there.
All right. Who is your male main eventer?
Bryan Danielson. For how long he has left going. I don't know.
Mid card?
Dustin Rhodes.
Ooh.
Like, bitch.
We need that old guy. We need that old guy that keeps everybody in line.
I wanted the old man.
Women's main event.
Deonna Purrazzo.
Ooh, god damn it. Okay. And women's mid card.
Shayna Baszler.
Ooh.
Man.
Good fucking draft round for you. Ivy, your tag team or stable?
What the fuck do they call themselves? The dudes that Rey Mysterio are with, only because they move fast.
I'll do it.
You doing the LWO?
Yeah.
Okay, so you want the LWO. Okay.
Hold on 1 second.
See what she did to us? She took a call on us. Man. But that takes Rey off the board, too. And Carlito. Because Carlito hasn't officially been kicked out of the LWO yet.
That's who is actually still in the Blackpool
Combat Club?
Yeah, that shit.
It's Danielson, Claudio, and Mox, and I want to say Wheeler Yuta.
I feel like he hasn't been on TV in a while.
Yeah, I mean, as is the case with most of the AEW roster, right? So that's item number six on my list of things to reconnect with the casual fan. Have people on TV. If you're going to sign them to a contract, then have them on TV. If not, let them go and make money elsewhere.
Or force them to make money elsewhere.
Yeah.
They'll just sit on the paycheck.
Yeah. Man. Who do you think she's gonna pick as her male main eventer?
Maybe it's Jeff Hardy still wrestling.
Yeah, but he's not really a main eventer right now. All right, Ivy, do you have time for us now? Are you good now?
Yes, I'm good. I do apologize. That was a very important phone call.
Okay. All right. That's fair. Okay, so your male main eventer.
I don't like this. I take Priest.
I already picked the Judgment Day guys.
Oh, you did pick him, didn't you? Damn it. I hate you. Who else is like a good main eventer? I don't want anybody. I don't want anybody on this list. I don't like these people.
I'm sorry.
You have like are we six considering Drew a main eventer?
Yeah.
All right, then I'll take Drew.
He did have the title for 10 seconds.
Literally.
Yep. Okay, your male mid-card.
I have to go with my man. My man, Jeff Hardy. He came back. Him's nose is better.
Okay, all right. Your women's main event?
All right, hold on. You took who?
I took Jordynne Grace, and then Amy took Deonna Purrazzo.
I also took Rhea Ripley.
Yeah, I know. God damn it.
Just got to put that out there. I guess
throw Bailey at me.
Okay.
I guess.
God damn it.
And your women's mid-card.
Let's go with Naomi.
Okay.
She just came back too. I'll give her another chance.
All right. So that leaves me with having to pick a team. Oh, or a stable. You know what? I'm going to go with the Pride, which is Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits and what's her name, who used to be with Swerve and AJ Francis. The girl. Anyway, the Pride. That's my pick there. For men's main eventer. Okay. All right. I'm going Moose. I'm picking the TNA champion. And for my men's mid-carder, I'm going to go Sami Zayn. Since he's still on the board.
Oh, wow. All right.
For my women's main eventer, I think I got to go Bianca Belair. We're still considering her main eventer, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then for my women's mid card, I'm going Tiffany Stratton. All right. Last round.
Last round, best round.
Amy, tag team stable.
I guess I'll go for the rest of Blackpool Combat Club. I know I kind of blew a pick, but that's whatever.
Okay.
Take the rest of those.
That takes Mox off the board. You got your NJ, you know, your New Japan champion there. That's a good pick. Okay. Male main event.
MJF. Is he still signed with AEW or are we still up in the air again?
Well, is he on the roster page is the real question.
Well, I don't believe that shit. That's a marketing thing.
No. We said whoever's on the page. So let's take a look.
Watch TV on WWE's. That'd be hilarious. That'd be the biggest joke of them all. As MJF.
I don't see him.
Put them in alphabetical order. Oh my fucking God. Are they?
They are.
Okay.
Nope. MJF is not on the board.
Fuck. All right. Then Kevin Owens.
Okay.
He was a champion.
Yeah, but he hasn't been a main event for a while. I guess I'll let you work him up there. That's fine. Men's mid card.
Harry Morton from NWA.
Slide in with that pick.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
This is where I lose it.
Women's main
event.
This is where
I lose it all. Becky Lynch for main event.
Okay.
And I don't fucking know for this pick.
Women's mid card.
I'm on two.
Where are you? Here? I gotta make sure you're here, because God forbid.
I'll do Mariah May.
Okay.
That's the one with Tony Storm, right?
Yep. Yep. Okay. All right. Ivy, tag team or stable?
Let me have the Kabuki Warriors.
Kabuki.
Ooh. Okay. Main event male.
Who's left? Well, we consider Adam Copeland main event because he has a title right now, doesn't he? Or is that more mid?
It's a mid-card title, but it's right. Adam Copeland. Amy, I'm okay with it if you are.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I'm okay with people who might be mid-carder going up, but, like Cody Rhodes should not be considered a mid-carder.
Now, agree. Right? Agree. Yeah. Okay. All right. Adam Copeland it is.
All right.
Mid-carder.
Then I'm going Christian Cage.
Okay. Women's main event?
What's her face? Roxanne Perez. She has a title. That's my girl.
Main event of NXT.
Mm-hmm.
All right, all right.
And you guys know I'm not a big NXT person, but like, she's
got somebody it.
I've been, yeah.
Philly was hot for her, I'll tell you what. Philly was
I know.
Hot for her. All right, and yep. women's mid card.
That Nikita Lyons, because she got the booty. Amy's like,
She got the booty. I don't know what else she got, but she got booty.
All right, so that leaves me. You already picked Jungle Boy.
I forgot his name was Jungle Boy. I was like, no, I picked him.
Like, Jungle Boy, what?
It was so long ago.
You know what? I'm going to go Lucha Brothers.
It's a good thing this isn't we're not doing video, because Amy was just over there doing the dance.
The wrong dance for the long
time. I know. We're doing a dance.
For my male main eventer. Oh, I really don't want to make this pick. Well, you know what? I don't have to. I can make a different pick. AJ Styles.
I don't want none.
He's about to main event with Cody at Backlash on Saturday.
Oh, he's a main eventer. He's fine. He's a
main eventer. Okay.
If AJ Styles is a main eventer, right? Something's wrong in the world.
All right. So I'm going to ask for the okay on this pick. Okay. I would like for my mid card to pick Nick Nemeth.
Yeah.
However, he's currently the AAA champion. Okay. Nick Nemeth.
There's a big difference in main eventers on certain shows.
I agree. Okay, and then the last two are fairly easy for me. I'm going Thunder Rosa for main event women, and I'm going Chelsea Green for mid card. Boom goes the dynamite. So, just to recap it for our listeners, Amy picked FTR, Gunther, Jack Perry, Rhea Ripley, Ruthie J, AJ and KCK from the.
You just say country gentlemen.
Country gentlemen. Brian Danielson, Dustin Rhodes, Deonna Purrazzo, Shayna Baszler, Blackpool Combat Club, KO, Kerry Morton, Becky Lynch, and Mariah May. Ivy picked Awesome Truth, Cody Rhodes, Sheamus, Tony Storm, Natty Neidhart, the LWO, Drew McIntyre, Jeff Hardy, Bayley, Naomi, the Kabuki Warriors, Adam Copeland, Christian Cage, Roxanne Perez, and Nikita Lyons. And I picked the guys from the Judgment Day, since you only picked Rhea, Swerve Strickland, Andrade, Jordan Grace, Kylan King, The Pride, Moose, Sami Zayn, Bianca Belair, Tiffany Stratton, The Lucha Brothers, AJ Styles, Nick Nemeth, Thunder Rosa, Chelsea Green. Listeners at home, who had the best draft? Was it me? Was it the Temptress Witch?
Witch.
Or was it Ref Amy? I need to know.
I need to know.
So tell us in the comments below if you're watching on YouTube. Hit us up on social media. Let us know your thoughts. I hope that that was a little bit more entertaining for you than the WWE draft, just by nature of the fact that we had all the forbidden doors open for this one. So we hope that you are following us across all of our social medias, fans, at Rewind Podcast, WREWINDPODCAST. My friends, we will catch you guys next time here on Rewind Wrestling Radio. Amy, Ivy, thank you for being with me tonight.